Good afternoon, Seattle. Good afternoon to all my friends who linger out there in the ethereal spaces and the transcendental planes beyond this one. It is July the 25th. It is indeed July the 25th, 2020, right around 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you guys. It is July the 25th, 2020, and this is your friend Dan in Little Saigon. But technically speaking, this is not the Little Saigon Report. This is the first entry in a podcast storytelling series that will include written text, but the text might not always be edited to your satisfaction. Also, you should always keep in mind that I may go off script while I'm podcasting. I've decided that's the only healthy way to deal with this. Indeed. For today is the first chapter in a new fictional series, assuming I can try not to not give a shit, or rather escape the generalized sense that nothing really fucking matters, which I think is not a good attitude. Jesus would prefer I do something rather than nothing, I think. So this is a chapter one of a series called Never Ending Jedi. Never Ending Jedi. Time Wars. Indeed, we're talking about the never-ending Jedi Time Wars. Now, just so I can set the scene, we're in this period of time, the decades following what is now Episode 9, and in nomenclature or canon. I don't care about canon. Can we get something out of the fucking way? And I'm not going to do this every chapter in the podcast, so if you don't get it, listen up. Whatever the fuck canon is in the context of Star Wars legend and or lore. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. And if that pisses you off, it's like, Dan, I can't believe you're going to go make some... This isn't... Technically, I wouldn't call this fanfic. I was thinking about this today. Like, is this technically fanfic? Well, fanfic, I think, is intended to actually be nice or supportive or respectful. And I'm hoping that this is none of those things. Fanfic should be accurate. I'm hoping this is only accurate to the extent that it can, you know, take advantage of cheap laughter and punches in the stomach. So this won't be fanfic. If you're hoping for fanfic, this is not that. This is the true story. I'm about to tell you the true story of Star Wars. Not the bullshit story, not the make-believe crap, not the George Lucas bullshit, but the real fucking deal about Star Wars. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there were people that lived in peace. Life wasn't perfect. Life was not perfect in this other world, but they lived in a kind of peace, a peace of sometimes plenty, sometimes there was famine, sometimes there was pain and suffering, so indeed, a long time ago, there was this fucking galaxy far, far away. You can guesstimate using whatever hydrodynamic or galactical bullshit mechanics you want to use. I certainly don't give a fuck. I'm currently not on script, so this is just me giving you the fucking setup. But a long time ago, there was a galaxy where people lived in peace, and then a meteor came. A meteor came and impacted the planet of Trogulus. This is not in the text. This is the sacred word of the podcast. This meteor contained a substance that locals at the time called a color out of space. Yes, I'm tipping my hat to you, H.P. Lovecraft, you son of a bitch. Indeed, this meteor impacted the planet Trogulus, and inside the meteor was a strange, fascinating, mucousy, membranous gumbus of Scromulex 12, and when it split open, it spurted itself upon everybody in the fucking town. And what they didn't know at the time, when nobody knew, not even the peaceful people of the world where young little baby Yoda was born, what they didn't know is that these were midichlorians. The midichlorian spread through the galaxy like the syphilis. And like the syphilis, a lot of people weren't so happy about it. Yeah, you could say, well, Dan, you know, isn't that how we're connected to the Force? And you'd say, okay. But did you know there's a good side and a bad side? And with without training, without proper training. Anywho, the midichlorian spread through the galaxy, and a galaxy that was once peaceful, once prosperous, once filled with hardworking people, began to be inhabited by these people, not everyone at first, in fact, not a very big group of people, really. It's hard to know why some were so infected by the midichlorian, and why others were not. It's hard to say why some were so impacted. There were theories, but most of these theories involve witches. Yeah. Theories involving witches. Let's just leave it at that. Just leave it there. Some people gain great powers from these midichlorian, and within 100 years, the first of a sect, a special sect, calling itself the Jedi, came to be. It was named after a highly infected, kind of sleazy bouncer named Jed. They used to call him Red Eye Jed. Red Eye Jed, yes. Red Eye, Dead Eye, Red Eye Jed. And they didn't want to spend time saying that, so they just started calling him Jedi. And Jedi was the first. He was the one who decided that they should organize and have really strange, arcane, and obtuse, and strange, and bizarre rituals of construction, and that they should go around the galaxy testing people. And if you had a lot of midichlorian in you, well, one of two things happened. You joined the Jedi, or you Deadeye, which means bye-bye, little Anakin. You remember how many midichlorian you had? Woohoo! It was either train you or kill you, little Anakin. And let's just be clear in terms of the people of Alderaan. If we're really thinking about it, killing Anakin is more or less like killing Hitler. Okay? If you ever say to yourself, what would have been like if Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan had met Anakin on the planet Dust Garbage? They met him piling dust with his mom. Dust Garbage, Dust Garbage, Dust Garbage from day to dawn. Yeah, I'm tired of that already. No, anywho, the midichlorians spread, you got the Jedis, they start developing around the first century. And you know, Yoda was a young man at the time, and he got involved in this. And what he saw was a pattern, and that is power corrupts, absolute power tends to just really make people scumbags. And the Jedi were just filled with a lot of fucking power-hungry bullies who had a lot of, superpowers, which made them total scumbags, really. It didn't make them nicer. The superpowers of the Jedis didn't make them nicer. It made them fucking worse. So many centuries later, after the good Jedis had fought the bad Jedis, had fought the rebels, had fought the droids, had fought the various other kind of quasi-racist wars, we find ourselves at the moment. Let's talk about Tlaland Yul. Tlaland Yul, he struggled with his memories. He struggled with a lot of PTSD. He could remember a time when his people were happy and prosperous and peaceful and joyful. They were filled with joy. They had parties. Oh boy. Yeah, you get my point though. He remembers when his people were pretty much living in peace. And despite the fact that he grew up in a time when the entire galaxy was plagued by one Jedi Imperial war after another, his planet was more or less, you know, unscathed. He was a Jedi, Tlaland Yul. And if you want to know how to spell his name, it's spelled Tlaland-Yuul. He was a Jedi. The people he lived amongst were pretty much simple farmers and merchants who just wanted to live free, you know. And that was the year we're speaking of. The year of something called Rooksum. And Rooksum, yeah, and anyway, so in the year of Rooksum, an emissary from the Rebel Alliance shows up on the wonderful planet, and they basically are in the year of Rooksum, which is a time when the Harvest Master declares that all round vegetables can be consumed, but all cylindrical vegetables, you know, have to be given to the Monk of Pickles. Anyways, you know, the emissary told them that the Emperor Palpatine had resurrected himself for the 12th time. Yes, Emperor Palpatine had resurrected himself for the 12th time. This is what the emissary told the people of, you know, Tlaland's planet during the Rooksum Festival of basically celebrating fucking cucumbers. That Emperor Palpatine had risen for the 12th time. Once again, Emperor Palpatine has arose. He has risen up from the dead for the 12th time. And that the final countdown order, or FFFCO, was preparing to destroy the whole galaxy with trans-universal cisgendered superstar destroyers, which are really funky. And it was going to be terrible. Tlaylan Yul's friends call him Ty. Ty was sent on a mission with Jedi Rey, who you'll know as Palpatine's granddaughter from the other episodes, like fucking 7, 8, and 9, which is total garbage. But yeah, Ty was sent on a mission with Jedi Rey to get a hold of some fucking amulet or some kind of really sketchy bullshit. And Jay left his friends and family. Ty went with Jedi Rey to find the sacred amulet of Up Your Butt, and left his family and friends alone on the planet Naegobalus. And, you know, I mean, nothing ever happens as bad when that happens, right? It's not like the Empire ever uses, like, totally, completely evil, gigantic weapons on innocent populations. They've never been known for that, right? Anywho, Ty leaves his family alone and goes on this fucking mission with Jedi Rey. Yeah. Yep, and leaves Nicopolis behind, the planet that is known for condiments and mustard, the planet that is known for pickles and relish in the galaxy. If you want a hot dog, you get relish that comes from Nicopolis. He left his home behind to go on the mission to get the sacred amulet with Jedi Rey. And then, 7 months later, his planet is destroyed. Not the planet, but just all life on the planet, basically, because the Empire has a super weapon that amounts to spraying really dangerous, really toxic mold all over the planet. That's right. The Empire has a cannon on every one of its spaceships for the final countdown order that is able of projecting every color of mold: the red mold, the yellow mold, the black mold, the blue mold, the green mold, the brown mold, the purple mold. You didn't think there was purple mold. That's the mold that burns the worst. And the Empire sprayed this all over Ty's planet, his home planet of Nagobalus. His family and friends were sprayed with the mold. The mold killed them, but not quickly. It slowly dissolved them painfully, and all life on his planet was dissolved slowly and painfully over a period of days and weeks. Ty's family was gone. He was alone. His sadness was deep. His darkness, his ennui, whatever word a man like Soren Kierkegaard would have for the crack in the soul that goes right down the middle. That's where Tlaylon Yol was. That's where our friend Ty was. You see, when Ty was young, he didn't dream of much, you know? He didn't dream of much. He didn't dream of much. All he wanted was a little cabin, maybe some property, maybe a place to grow some fucking vegetables. That's all Ty wanted when he was young. When he got older and realized he had a lot of midichlorian in him, and there was nothing that could be done, and he became a Jedi, people would bring him food. That was nice that people brought him food, for free. They never seemed happy about it, though. Tondiz Ru, Hondiz Hey. That is the famous quote from the famous second century Jedi Knight named Nukran Tuki. Loosely translated, it means you never question a free beer while you're drinking it. And now, at this point in Ty's journey of revenge, he was there. He was there. He was there. Where was he? Where was Tlaylon Yol at this point in the story? He was just sitting there on Dagobah, the swamp planet, with the ghost of Yoda. Can you imagine being on Dagobah, the swamp planet, with the ghost of fucking Yoda? Right. Here he was on Dagobah with Yoda, but not the living Yoda. By this time in the epic of all the episodes of Star Wars, Yoda's long dead. He died in episode 6. He just sort of disappeared into nothing crap. Vaporous bullshit. I guess that's what happens to some of you Jedi when you get really fucking old, but Ghost Yoda? Ghost Yoda was still on Dagobah, and there he was talking with Tlaylin Yul, and they were fucking commiserating. There he was, sitting with fucking Yoda. Yoda! Yoda! The great master of the 95 arts of Kolik, Yoda, the dude that defeated the 89 dragons at the Battle of Plumptuous. He fought 89 dragons by himself. That Yoda fought 89 dragons using nothing but a battle axe, a toothpick, some rope, and his own Yoda powers. Indeed, at that Battle of Plumptuous, Yoda fought off and defeated 89 dragons, marking the end of the Fourth Great War against the Jedi, who were the Dark Force-inclined ones. The very same Yoda, the fucking Yoda that totally almost took out Emperor Palpatine for the first time. I mean, now we're on time number 12, but for the first time, he almost did it. And here was Tlaylin Yul sitting with Yoda, having a beer. Drinking a fucking beer that Yoda just made appear. And how did Yoda make it appear? He summoned the Force. And how does the Force work? Well, the midichlorian, the microbes, give you special forces. If you have a lot of them, you got a lot of special power. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, folks, but at this point in the story, we basically got Ty, Tlaylin Yul, talking with Yoda, commiserating. It looks like Yoda can magically make a beer appear because he's got the Force. And before you say things like, oh, Dan, you can't do that, that's not right, there's nothing that says you can do that, keep in mind, the frickin' franchise of Star Wars comes up with shit that these Jedi can do every fucking new movie that comes out. So don't tell me that Yoda can't bring forth a Ghost Yoda can't summon forth a beer. He can. Previous to this, arriving on Dagobah, Tlalin Yul, Ty, our friend Ty, had been receiving messages and dreams. Some of the messages he'd received were coming from a crinkly old lady and telling him things like, "Come to Colorado, Ty! Come to Colorado Springs! This is Mother Abigail!" Of course, Ty did not know anything about Colorado or Colorado Springs or any kind of bullshit like that, so he ignored that. But he also got a lot of messages in his dreams from Yoda. And Yoda told him to come to Dagobah, Ghost Yoda did, and it was the ghost Yoda that looked like the Yoda in his comic books he read as a kid. So he wanted to go see fucking Yoda. "See yourself. You do not. Understand yourself. You do not. But the enemy you see, and aged it is." "I grow tired, Master Yoda." "My energy drinks you buy?" Yeah, of course I buy your energy drinks, man. I love your energy drinks. I love your red soda surprise. Yeah, I love your purple Weasler. I love your specially designed energy drink for keeping your wongo nice and tight. "What then trouble is yours?" Yeah, Yoda looked deeply into Tlalin Yul's eyes and kind of summoned forth the memory that all Jedi have because of the midichlorian bullshit STD, and summoned forth the memory of all the fucking cycles of history and all the Imperial wards, lords, and all the Imperial super weapons and all the times the Jedi won, the good ones did, and all the times Dark Force rose again, and all the fucking Death Stars. There's been a few. And Ty, Tlalin Yul, saw the memory of all these battles and all these Death Stars and all these epics of a never-ending onslaught of destruction. And before all of this, there was peace in the galaxy. Before all of this, there were people who lived together and didn't fuck with each other. And then came the midichlorian. And then came the Jedi. And you can say, oh, good side, bad side. But what Tlalin Yul was seeing was the essential truth of it, what he knew in his heart, the reason why he sought out Yoda. "Holy fuck, what did you do, Master?"
"Your mind quiet is not. Your mind given. Yoda provides."
"Do you remember old Tuck, the hero of the 9th Imperial Resupplicant Wars?"
"Old Tuck, I do. One arm, one leg, friend he was."
"Yeah, he talk about losing the arm in one Rebel Imperial War and losing the leg in the other, and it was like that was just normal, Master Yoda. My family's dead. My family is dead. People I love are destroyed. My friends are destroyed. All dissolved by terrible, miserable monsters because of another rise of this fucking Palpatine dude. I'm tired of it, Yoda, tired." And Ty sat there with his head in his hands.
"Real enemy, never empire," whispered Yoda, Ghost Yoda.
"That's nonsense. We've always been at war with the Empire."
"Why always? Why end it? Does not."
"Well, the forces of darkness have dark force technology."
"Stop you right there, I will!"
yelled Ghost Yoda. And Ghost Yoda grew big and scary. His eyes glowed green and weird. There was a fucking mist that started rising from the swamp, worse than the normal muck shit swamp gas, smell gas, And Ghost Yoda had the eye lightning going on too, and hand flames. Sorry, Master. And Ghost Yoda relented in his Ghost Jedi powers, which are limited because, you know, Ghost Jedi don't have the same level of powers, but like I said, the Star Wars franchise is not limited in any functional sense. After both of them calmed down, Ghost Yoda continued,
"Die! Die! Carefully listen, you will. Meditation and understanding, fear do not. Qui-Gon Jinn, dead is not."
Ty was shocked. I mean, Ty was just told by Yoda, the master, that Qui-Gon Jinn was not dead. The same Qui-Gon Jinn, also known as Sky Scrimper, who was so well known to save up his frequent flyer miles. He was really good. He really scrimped. Ty knew that Qui-Gon had died in episode 1, which Ty knew was the beginning, but it wasn't episode 4, which seems like the beginning. Don't worry about it too much. Qui-Gon Jinn. Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it too much.
Qui-Gon Jinn. Dead is not. Knowledge found now is. Time is now.
What do you mean, Master?
Mean this. Cannot believe story. Cycle of empire and rebellion has been and for always. Always war we have. Always episode 1. Final battles. Always award ceremonies and glad-hatting bullshit. Resolution never found. Found never.
Ty had wondered about this once. He had actually been thinking about the existential pointlessness of the never-ending Jedi fucking rebellion fucking imperial fucking wars. He'd really meditated on that crap, and then he pointed it out to Jedi Rey on the adventure to get the fucking obtuse, obscure, fucking pointless fucking amulet, whatever the amulet was for. And when he told Jedi Rey this, she looked at him and called him racist and slapped him. Slapped him.
Qui-Gon Jinn, dead is not. Qui-Gon Jinn, plan he has. Fine time bracelet he will. Bring to me he must.
But then, Master, what?
Then? Seen have I much. Seen have I billions killed. In the name of victory, all were killed. Need you to go to planet Thooms. In quadrant 3. Find there Qui-Gon Jinn. Find there the time bracelet. To me you shall bring.
Thooms was a planet in the Loontaz system, not far from Shakey's. Master, what then? Ghost Yoda grew large, like 100 feet tall. He looked all scary and crazy and glowy. He had, if you can imagine it, Ghost Yoda had a green glow about him. It was crazy. And then he screamed,
"A plan I have!"
cried Ghost Yoda. And the swamp planet shook, or at least that part of it. Ty was pretty startled. You know, Glimbus 12, you know, frickin' Ty's, you know, droid sparked out a little. It was all pretty fucking weird. And then Ghost Yoda vanished. That's Ghost Yoda. Like I said, the real Yoda died episode 6 at the beginning. Thai, or Tlaland Yol, but we'll say Thai because Thai is easier. Thai and Glimbus. Glimbus 12 was his droid, a droid that he saved from a planet, you know. Thai and his droid Glimbus 12, well, they prepared the ZX fighter for takeoff from that swamp hellhole. Tlaland Yol knew there would be more from Master Ghost Yoda upon his return from the journey to find Qui-Gon Jinn and the time bracelet bullshit. But for now, Ty would journey with the knowledge he had, and the droid he knew, and the ship he loved, his Zisco Rider, the ZX. Said Glimbus 12. Yeah, man, we're headed to the Foom's place. Beep, 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 dirt, beep, 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 beep. No, dude, I don't want any bagels. Ty had found Glimbus 12 on a space station truck stop. He was a broken bagel toaster droid that was beaten daily by his owner. Ty bought Glimbus 12 and did not beat him. Glimbus 12 loved this about Ty. The part about the no beating. Space is a fucked up place, man.
Derp, 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 derp,
you said it, man. And Ty's Zisco Rider shot fast into the abyss at the speed of light, maybe 17,000 times the speed of light. They shot towards their destination of planet Fooms in the Loontaz system to meet up with Qui-Gon Jinn and get that fucking time bracelet back to Yoda, so they could continue on with whatever fucking plan that Yoda has. And yeah, I'm not really super happy about Chapter 1, let's just be honest, but this is Chapter 1 of the never-ending Jedi Time Wars. What you can be certain of is that in Chapter 2, something will happen. Probably involving, you know, some type of action on a speeder. Maybe it'll involve a spaceship with a laser cannon or some kind of bullshit. It's possible it can involve one of those big Star Destroyers, the Carillion class. Indeed. This first chapter probably sucked, but the chapters to come will be amazingly sublime. Indeed. In the future, the stories to come involving the never-ending Jedi Time War, we're going to learn about, for example, I'll give you a spoiler alert, we're going to learn about why R2-D2 has been holding his own. I mean, why he's been waiting. Think about it. C-3PO is such a fucking cuck. He's cucked out. But R2-D2, what's up with him? Well, guess what? He's got a plan, too. He's also got a plan. There are many people with plans. There are a lot of people pissed off at the Jedi. All the Jedi. Light side, dark side, over, easy, scrambled. Lots of people pissed off at the Jedi Order, frankly. You know, they go to the 3rd or 15th celebration of the second victory. And it's like, wait a minute, you know why we're having parties every week? It's because we're having wars every week. Oh, fuck. So anywho, this is Chapter 1 of the Never-Ending Jedi Time War. There is text associated with this. I barely read the text. I kind of just used it as a guideline, other than the dialogue, sort of. If you end up coming back to me and accusing me of crimes, or you tell me this all sucks, I'm okay with that. I just want you to know that you don't have to donate money to this, but if you enjoyed it and you think I might get better, or the story might get better as we learn more about how much Yoda hates the Jedi, and also discuss the difficulty of writing any dialogue for Yoda. Angry, I am not. Yeah, Yoda's dialogue sucks. You're better off writing it for, don't even think about writing for Yoda. Write it for some philosopher, bullshit artist, and then translate it to Yoda. That's the key. Yoda's crap is bullshit. He knows it, though. That's why I love Yoda. He knows the Jedi are full of shit, too. That's why he lives on the swamp planet. Dagobah. You guys have a good one.